you know, when we think about Father's Day, this day when we get to celebrate fathers, we remember the good things that fathers do, right? You don't try not to think about the bad, the times that they spanked you as a kid or the times they were mean to you or didn't let you have what you want. You try to think the good things. It's a time where we say thanks. And for me personally, it's a day that I see and reflect upon, you know, things that I wish I could have done better. I know some of you guys probably don't approach it that way, but I think about, man, I'm so blessed, you know, with my family and with my kids, and I think about things I could have done better, but what we do know is that dads do the best with what they have, and there's none of us that are perfect. Amen? There's none of us that are perfect. And so hopefully, for those dads out here, you are reminded today by your families, the love that your kids have for you, remind you of the good that you have done. It's also a reminder, again, that we're not perfect. We know that. And for some of you, today is a day where maybe your dad wasn't good or was an absent father. Again, at the end of the day, we all work with what we're given. And the role of the father here on earth, what I want to say today, is a temporary one, and it's rather short. So when we think about Father's Day, whatever our view is as a person, of an earthly father, in the midst of this all, we have a Father in heaven who is holy and perfect and loves us well. Amen? And so if you belong to Jesus today, if you have been changed by the Spirit of God, we have a forever Father. And it's one who is perfect in all of his ways. And as we look at what a forever father looks like, what our hope is actually in, my prayer today is that hopefully when God looks down upon us, he sees his children who love him and can let him know that today. But we're going to look at Psalm 68 today. In verse 4, and it starts off like this. It says, "Sing to God. Sing praises to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him." King David is writing this psalm here, and he writes this psalm, and he gives us an instruction that we are to sing to God. We're not just to sing to him, but we're to add to that praise, and then we're to add to that extolling him, and ultimately we rejoice before him. What David lays out for here is what a pattern of worship looks like for a forever father who is in heaven. This pattern of worship. You know, when we sing to God, that's not just a portion of the service. It's not just the thing that we do. And for many of you, maybe you're like, well, I ain't singing, right? I was that guy one time. Right back here, just a couple rows on my right, I was the guy that stood there and refused to sing. Why would I sing to God? I don't want to sing. I don't like to sing. I only sing in the, you know, when nobody's listening. But if you sing to God and you think about what this means here, if you don't sing, you don't worship. I didn't say you have to sing well. I'm just saying if you won't sing, you won't worship. Because it's a step in worship. Lift up your voice. It doesn't have to sound the best. It also doesn't have to be the loudest. But sing. And not just sing, but sing to God. And he says if you do that, then add to that praises. Okay, so when we sing to God, what are we doing? Why are we singing to him? We're letting him know. We're expressing our admiration for him. We're expressing our approval that, man, God, you are good. Right? If you don't know anything else, you've got to know that God is good. I mean, he made you. Right? And you're good. Amen? Everybody think they're good? I mean, like, you're alive. That's good. God made you. And so if you think about the fact that you're expressing admiration to God, you're just saying, God, you're good. You're worthy, you're faithful, right? There's none like you. God, you are good. And I'm telling you this morning that there's times where we come in and we don't feel like that. Has anybody ever not really felt like singing? You don't really feel like worship. You don't really feel like that's something you want to do. We just sang a song that was actually perfect for that. Come on, my soul, right? Speaking to your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. You've got a lion inside. You've got a reason to sing. Get up and praise the Lord. When you don't feel like it, if you'll just do it anyway, I'm telling you, there's something that happens in your soul. There's something that happens just out of the obedience of singing to God and worshiping Him. It brings your soul into agreement with the Spirit. When He says, God is good, even if I don't think it, I sing it and I just declare that He is good. When I sing that God is good, my own soul hears the truth. Sometimes that's what we need, is we need our own soul, our mind, will, and emotions, what we think, what we feel, and what we want. We need it to know the truth, that God is good. Amen? And if you're going to sing and you're going to sing praises, it says to extol Him. Now, that's not a word that we use a lot in language. When's the last time one of you guys said extol? Anybody use that? You use that this morning? DJ, did you extol anybody? No? We don't really say words like that a lot, but this is what it means. It means to praise highly. It means not just praise like, okay, God, you're good, I know it, I don't believe it, but I know it, right? I mean, it's like, now it's to the next level. It's building upon that praise. I'm going to praise to a higher level, right? God, it's not just that you're good, but you are above all things. I'm going to tell you, if you can speak to your soul, no matter how it feels, and you can start to speak that God is good, you'll believe it. And when you start to believe that and you take it a little bit further and you're like, you know what, God, you're not just good. You're actually above all things. God, you can do anything. You guys believe that this morning, that God can do anything? Now, when you start to speak that to your soul, when you start to sing things like Jesus, right? You are the name above all names. There's power in the name of Jesus. You start to sing things like this, this extolling, this high praise. God, your love never fails. You start to sing things like this and take your praise to the extreme. It's almost like we exaggerate, you know, the attributes of God, like, because they're so great, we actually can't even fully understand them. But church, we're talking about an almighty God. And once we begin to sing like that, once we begin to praise like that, we come to a place where it says you will rejoice before Him. Now, right here, this is something that you can't fake, church. You can't just fake. How many of you guys are like, I know I was told I'm supposed to dance, right, before the Lord. I'm supposed to jump and shout, and you've tried it. You've tried faking it. I've done that. I don't feel like it, and I do it because I think we get it backwards. We need to come back to the start. First, just be willing to sing to God. Just be willing to sing. And if you do that, and then you let your heart actually receive what's happening, and you begin to praise Him, and then you begin to receive that, and you let your heart begin to extol Him, praise Him highly, and you let your heart receive that, then we will get to the place where we begin to rejoice before Him. See, this is something you can't fake. It's not something you just do. It's something that begins to grow in you because it's a product of genuine worship. It's a product of genuine worship. You know what rejoicing actually means? It means to show lively, triumphant joy. It's this place of victory. It speaks of a soul that understands that not only is God good, but He's great. And not only is He great, but there is none like Him. It shows how desperate our soul is for Him. It shows that we know how much He has affected our lives. When we think about this in a normal Father's Day layout, you know, how we may interact with a father figure on Father's Day. First of all, you may just give them a call or go have a conversation. Hey, happy Father's Day. How are you doing? Right? That's kind of like singing. It's just taking a step of opening up some kind of conversation. And then you may say, you know what, I appreciate you. Right? Whether they were good or bad. You may be like, I appreciate you. You know, it would have been kind of hard for me to live without, having a father at some point in there. That could be like that praise. And then you may take it a little step further. And you may say, you know what? Again, whether it's really true or not, you're the best dad in the world. Listen, we're all best dads in the world. We need to have a competition and settle this once and for all. Who's in? You in? That could be like the extolling, right? The high praise. Dad, you're the best dad in the world. And then you think about the rejoicing when you celebrate him, when you do something for him because you understand and you accept and you receive how much he has shaped your life. You might even do all that if you've not had such a great father just because of honor or respect or because it's something that you should do. But think about how much more we should take this kind of approach with our Heavenly Father who is perfect. How much more should we be willing to sing, willing to praise highly, and even rejoice before Him? We have a Father in heaven who has never let us down. Amen? Never. Not once. Now, He's probably told you no. He's probably disciplined you at some points in your life. But He's never actually let you down. He's never been unfaithful. He's never been unloving. He's never not cared about you or any of those things. Going on in Psalm 68, David tells us why we're to praise like this. It says that He is a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy habitation. God sets the solitary or the lonely in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I want to focus on this piece that the Lord is a father to the fatherless. This word father here is so important for us to grasp this morning because the Hebrew word for this word father is av, which is like, it's A-B, all right? A-B, but it's spoken like av. It's typically the first word a Hebrew baby would say. You know, what's the first word they say here? It's either mama or dada, right? It's like av is kind of like a form of that. This is the first thing that a child would learn to say would be av. In Aramaic, this word av is translated or it's carried over to the word Abba, which we probably know if you've been in church very long is the Hebrew form of daddy. Okay? So Jesus used this word daddy when He was speaking of the Father when He prayed in the garden as He was facing the cross. In Mark 14:36, He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. This was the language of Jesus as a son crying out to His Father, to His daddy, in a time of need. I don't think we understand this sometimes. His soul was troubled. You guys ever think about the fact that Jesus' soul was troubled? His mind, will, and emotions. Yes, He never sinned, but He was troubled. It weighed on Him. It was heavy. It was a burden that He was carrying and He was going through. And in the midst of that, He cries out to His daddy. He cries out to His Father in heaven that He needs help. The Holy Spirit also teaches us to cry out to God in the way that a child cries out for their daddy. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now listen, I'm not getting weird today, and I'm not going to tell you guys you need to start praying daddy. I know that's weird. I've been in that circle before where they try to encourage everybody to do that. Whatever. If you want to, that's fine. That's not the point. of these scriptures. It's not the point of what's going on here. The point is not what you're saying. It's about the heart in which we approach God in prayer. As a kid who needs help from his daddy. That God, I'm helpless without you. And I am in need of my daddy. Right? I'm in need of someone who does everything that I cannot do. Church, this is a position of trust. Right? It's a position of trust saying that, man, I know my dad can do it. I know that when I am in need, I can depend on him to do what I cannot. This is a position of vulnerability. This is a position of reliance upon the one who loves you. The one who can and will do anything for your good because he is there for you. Church, the Lord is the Father to the fatherless. And when we pray and we call God our Father, right? In our mind, his image sometimes is tainted because we think about earthly fathers. We think about whether they were good or bad or perfect or imperfect, and we think about what they are like, and because of that, we miss out on the power of the knowledge that our Father in heaven is perfect, that he is holy, that he is good entirely. This word Av, this Father, right? It doesn't so much refer to a earthly father or even a man that fathers a child. What that word actually means is an architect. It means someone who is a builder and who is a creator. So when we think about that God is a father to us, God is an architect, he's a builder, he's a creator for us. That means he's someone who will plan and who will work or construct, and he will cause things in our lives to come into being. So if he's a father for the fatherless, he will plan, construct, and cause something to come into being for someone that can't do it. Church, that's why we rely on him as a father. Right? He can organize and plan and do things that we cannot do. How many of you know that God has a plan? Does anybody believe that this morning? God has a plan. How many of you believe that God is working, right? We say that all the time, but I wonder how often we actually believe the words that we're speaking. That God has a plan, first of all, and that he's working. And then if you can believe that not only does he, my Father, right? My Father in heaven has a plan and he's working. If you believe both of those things, how could we not believe that he's going to make something come into existence in our lives that we can't have without him? How many of us really believe that? That, man, God does stuff in my life that there's no other way for it to be done. I think we believe that he has a plan and we believe that he's working, but I think we miss that third one. That means it's going to happen. It means that God is going to work in our lives and something is going to come into being that currently is not here without him. And if we understand that me, as a child of God, I place my faith in him, right? If I place my faith in Christ, if I've accepted him as Savior, if I've proclaimed him as Lord, then I come with a heart of a child saying, Daddy, right? Father, I need you to do something that I cannot do. Do you know we're made to have a dependence on God? We're told our whole lives you need to grow up and become independent. That just means your parents want you to move out of the house and do stuff for yourself. Leave them alone. We're not created to be independent. But the thing is, your parents have a job of raising you to a point that you do get out of their house. But you always have to be dependent on God. That doesn't ever change. You don't ever outgrow being a child of God. In fact, the more and more and more I grow as a child of God, the more and more and more I'm like, Daddy, right? I need you. I need something from my Father in heaven that I can't produce on my own. And I come to Him as a child. Do you know that God can create peace in your life? See, I think there's times where we're looking for, how do I find peace? We're looking for something to find something that's not yet been created. God has got a plan. God is working, and He's going to bring this into creation, into your life. You got to cry out to Him. He's where you find the peace. You don't go looking for it in the corner, right? You look to God that He will create it. Do you know He can create comfort in our lives? He can create joy. He can create rest. You don't have to wonder how. You just have to trust that He will. He has a plan, and He's working. Now, are you going to look to Him for the answers or not? I don't know if you guys are like me or not, but every once in a while, I get stuck trying to figure out how He's going to do it. Anybody else try to figure out God's plans? I know He can do it. I know he's got a plan. I know He's working. I know it's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. I want the details. And I want to know, where are we at in the plan? It's kind of like if you were to get a plan for putting together an entertainment center. Anybody that's looked at one of those plans, you're like, I just throw it away and wing it. Yeah, how much stuff you got left over at the end? If you just picked up one of those plans and you tried to find your way midway, jump in and try to figure out what's going on, it's a disaster. It takes forever to try to figure out what is going on. Half of them don't even make any sense. And I think a lot of times we try to jump into God's plan like that. I'm going to jump in and I'm going to try to figure out, all right, God, where are you at with this? How can I help you out? How can we move it along? Man, you just got to trust that He'll do it. You know, as a child, when you give a kid a juice box, he doesn't care where you got it from. Doesn't care. If he asks you, a little kid asks you for some Goldfish crackers, they just know you got them. They just know if they bug you enough that you will give them to them. They don't try to figure it out. Man, I wonder how they got these. I wonder where they came from. They don't care about that. They just want the blessing that you're going to give them. When we think about a kid, they will just cry for something until you give it to them or until you give them something better. And I think there's times where we need to come to God like that as our Father, and we just say, I'm just a kid here who needs his dad right now, and I don't know what you're doing, I don't know how you're doing it, but what I need is you. What I know is that I trust you for all that I need, and I depend on you. I depend on you today. Now, for us, when we think about that and what effect does that have on our lives, sometimes it depends on us. How closely are we watching God? How closely are we in step with God? What is our nearness like to the Father? When a kid spends a lot of time around their parents, either one, they begin to do the things that they do, right? They begin to pick up on the things that they do. They'll start to say the things that their father says, good or bad, right? They'll begin to do the things that the father does, good or bad, and it shouldn't be a surprise, because this word Av tells us that a father is a creator. A father is one who builds things, who produces things, and they produce things in those who follow them. Right? It's where we get the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? It looks like a carbon copy. Like, it's because they've been following along. And when we think about our spiritual walk, for those who are a child of God, if you're walking closely with Him, then you know how He thinks, you know how He works, you know what He does. But for those, even those who are not yet a child of God, those who haven't received Jesus as Lord and Savior, even for those, they also act like their father, because their father too has plans. He has things that he's working on. He constructs. He causes things to come into being. We see this in John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it." Satan is the god of this world, right? He's the god of this world, meaning this age, this time period that we're in. He's the ruler of all who have not yet become children of God. And don't be confused or receive the lie of the culture. You're not a child of God unless you belong to Jesus. You're not a child of God until you're born again. That's when he says, for those who have believed in Jesus have been given the right to become a child of God. For everyone else, you belong to the enemy. He's the ruler of this world. He's the king of this age. And when we consider the fact of belonging to this world, when you spend your time in the worldly things, when you spend your time pleasing the world and doing the things of it, the enemy has plans. He has plans, and he's working, and he's going to create something in your life. He's going to cause things to come into being. And Jesus tells us exactly what that thing is right here in John chapter 8. Lies. He's going to create lies in your life, and you are going to reproduce lies. It's what we see in the culture. Everything that is contrary to God is a lie. And everything that society accepts and repeats as though it is true that is not, because it's contrary to God, is a lie that they've received and believed and reproduced because they received it from their father. Satan is not the opposite of God. He's not the opposite of God. Because God has no equal. He has no equal. Now, Satan is an opponent, and that's different. He is an opponent because he opposes God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And it says that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Now, if Satan opposes the truth, everything he plans, everything he works on, everything he causes to come into being is a lie. It says he is the father of them. He's the father of lies. That means he's the producer of those lies. And if you oppose the truth of God, you oppose God himself and you live a lie. That's what's produced in the life of those that are closer with the world than they are with God. Their father will produce things, but these lead to destruction. But God, right? God has a plan that is greater than the plan of the enemy. Amen? He has a plan that is greater. But I think it's important that we realize that the things that are produced in our culture that are contrary to God, that they have a source. It's the enemy. We're in a spiritual battle, church. We're not in a political battle. Forget politics. It's a spiritual battle. What God says is right, and what anything or anybody else says is right. If it opposes God, it's a lie, and it all comes from the same source. But God has a greater plan. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Church, long before Jesus came to this world as a baby, long before he left his throne in heaven to come and live as a man, the Father had already planned, he had already been working, and then when Jesus came, the Father created into existence this ability for us to have a Savior on earth for all who would call upon the name of Jesus. For all who would call upon the name of Jesus. It was already determined. We're told here in Isaiah, it's determined who he would even be as a man before he came. Said that he would be wonderful. That he would be mighty. It said that he would bring peace. But we have to understand that it doesn't mean world peace. It doesn't mean that he came to bring people together in peace. What he came to bring is peace between a heart that is given to a lie and bring peace to it with his Creator. Bringing redemption for mankind. Peace to our soul. That we would understand that we have a Father that is perfect. A forever Father, yesterday, today, and forever. And he set the example of how important it was to follow our Heavenly Father. Think about what Jesus did. He said, I only do the things I saw the Father do, and I only say the things I saw heard the things that the Father said. I only repeat what I have heard from my Heavenly Father, who is perfect in all of his ways. He constantly watched and listened and repeated and produced in his own life. Church, Jesus didn't just come to save you. He came to father you. He came to work in our lives in a way that we receive unconditional love. The things that we would judge an earthly father on and that he would fail in 10 times out of 10, he's gonna fail. Jesus did all those things perfectly. He shows us a love that is unconditional. He shows us mercy and grace in all of our times of failure, in our times of need. He brings peace to our chaos. He brings rest to our soul, and he perfectly shows us the goodness of God. In him, there is no darkness, none at all. He is only good. 1 Corinthians 8:6 said, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom all things, and we for him, and one for the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we live. He says, Jesus. Jesus is the Father. All things are through him, all things are for him, and at the end of the day, what it comes down to is, do we live for him? Do we live for him? It's why we should have a reason to sing, church. It's why we should have a reason to praise highly, to rejoice, because he is good and he is all that we need. Not just for today, but forever. He's the Father forever. God has a plan for your life, and you may not understand it. You may be confused by it. You may disagree with it. But he still has a plan for your life. He did not create one single person without a purpose. God didn't make somebody like, you know what, it'd be real fun if we just made this person. If you look funny for a reason. Right? Whatever it is, maybe you're supposed to make people laugh. Maybe you're supposed to be a comedian. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is about you, God has made you for a reason. He has a plan. Maybe you've yet to discover what that plan is. Just know that he has one. If you haven't discovered that plan, you can still have faith that he's working. Man, God, I don't know what you're doing. You know, I often see some of the most amazing things come out of nowhere in my life. We had a guest speaker for our FCA meeting last Tuesday, and the pastor that I called booked him, and then he called me and told me he wasn't going to be able to make it, and he apologized over and over and over, and then told me of somebody that he knew that he thought would be a good fit, and as we talked about it and I learned more about him, I said, you know what, that's great, we'll have him come. And he apologized again, and I said, you know what, Ryan? I said, here's the thing. You don't need to apologize at all, because sometimes our mistakes are actually God's plan all along. I would have never even known who Josh was had I not called you first. And if I had called you first and you said, I'm not available, but I got a guy named Josh who is, I probably would have said, well, I have other people on my list that I know that I'm going to ask next. And I would have never had the privilege of having Josh here. See, what we see is a mistake in our life, a mistake in our plans, a mistake in our actions. Sometimes is God's plan all along. We don't need to know the details. We just need to know that as a father, as a creator, as an architect, He has a plan and He's working. Do you trust that He's working and that it's for your good today, church? Because if you do, He will produce. There will be things in your life that will come to fruition. Listen, your life may be in a mess right now. It might be in shambles. You might be questioning. You might be wondering. You might even be a little bit upset with God or angry with Him about how things are going. Can I just caution you for a minute just to come back to a place? Just singing. Just sing to Him today. Just come back to a place of praise that, you know what, God, I may not understand, but what I do know is that I know that You're good. And if that's all that you got, listen, I'm going to tell you that that's what your soul needs to hear. It just needs to hear that He's good. Because if your soul begins to take that in, you'll begin to believe that not only is He good, but He's above all things, can do all things. And so the things I'm facing in my life, these plans that don't seem to be working out, these things that seem like they're not as they should be, you'll find yourself in a place that you'll trust that He has a plan, that He's working, and that something good is gonna come. Church, it's gonna come. We can't give up right before the breakthrough. You don't have the blueprint. You don't know what step He's on. You don't know when the breakthrough is going to come and things are going to change. What we've got to do is we've got to know that God is good and that He produces good. And so we got to trust Him. And so do you trust Him today, church? Would you stand with me? I want to give a moment here for people just to draw near to the Lord. We're going to enter into a time of worship, and we'll have a couple people down here for prayer. I'll have one of my elders, and we'll have Skylar down here as well. If you want somebody to pray and believe with you, anoint you with oil, believe that God can do a miracle in your life, we would love to do that this morning. But I feel like for many of you, it's just going to come to that place of, I got to take it back to the first step. I just got to go back to this place of being willing to sing and let God work in my soul. I got to be willing to sing and let the Spirit of the living God speak to my soul this morning and show me that He's good. And so, Father, I pray right now as we enter into a time of singing for some, praising and worshiping for others, Lord, that wherever we're at, that You would be faithful and just meet us right here in our place of need. Lord, we trust You. And for those who are failing to find that trust or those who are questioning it this morning, God, I just pray that they would feel the sweetness of Your presence as we lift Your name high. Lord, that right now in this place that You would give us the understanding of Your love for us. That we don't need to know all the details, but what we do need to know, what some people may be searching for, is the fact that Your love for them is unfailing. Lord, could we experience that in this place right now? Lord, for those who are looking for a question or looking for a breakthrough, I pray that today would be the day, Holy Spirit, that You would quicken their heart to not give up, to keep praying, to keep praising, to keep pressing, to keep believing that, God, You have a plan and that You're working and that the breakthrough may just be right on the other side. But as a good, good, good Father, the best, one that is unfailing, one that is holy, one that is unlike any earthly father we could ever even come up with in our own imagination, that You are one who is perfect and that Your plan is good and it is just and it is right on time. Lord, would You let faith arise in the hearts of those who feel hopeless this morning? That our hope, our faith, our trust is only in the name of Jesus. Lord, we turn it over to You right now. We ask You to have Your way with us as we praise Your name. We declare in this place that You are worthy of our praise this morning. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.